Here's Higdon, it sits up nicely for Michael Higdon! And what a start for Motherwell! But here's Malt, and he goes for it for Sutton! Magnificent Malt! Stephen Robinson celebrates! Motherwell, 2-1! Could that be the goal that puts him into the Betfred Cup final?
He's got Irwin. The supporting links from Ainsworth on the angle. Lionel Ainsworth fires home.
It's Lasley deep into stoppage time. Up goes Sutton. No foul given. Kerr and Reid is there to knock it in. The goal is given. Hesitation for Craig Reid, who scores his first ever goal in senior football. And what a moment for Motherwell.
It's been another 2 weeks since we last recorded. We've had two games on the park. We lost both of them. But somehow we also acquired 6 points as well. Welcome to the MFC podcast. Tonight, myself, Andy and Pepe will go back over defeats against Hibs and St Johnston. We'll discuss the circumstances that led to 6 points being awarded to Motherwell following victories, sort of, against Kilmarnock and St Mirren. Guys, welcome along.
How are you doing?
All right, Andy.
Andy, I'll start with yourself. Saturday's defeat to Hibs. I don't think it was a 3-0 defeat. Well, it was a 3-0 defeat, but it didn't feel like it was that comprehensive. We fell behind midway through the second half. We had our chances and we had a disallowed goal as well in the first half that I think we rightfully believed should have stood. In the end, we're picked off in the break. Hibs scoring with 2 minutes to go and then adding a third through Stephen McGinn in the 92nd minute. I guess the first emotion is one of disappointment. Another game where we've went down at home, which has been a bit of a common trend in 2020. We need to start picking up points from these home matches, and to lose two in 2 weeks is very disappointing.
Yeah, it looked as if we'd kind of turned a corner a wee bit after some sort of single goal losses at home earlier on at the start of the kind of season. Felt like after the kind of St Johnston game, the Ross County game, that even the kind of European game, that we'd kind of get back in track to a certain extent, discounting the two Old Firm games, of course. So I felt quite confident going into this one. I felt we'd given one of our more accomplished performances of the season at Easter Road earlier on in the season. And we sort of more than held our own in the first 45 minutes, as you mentioned, with the goal kind of wrongly disallowed. Over the piece, it wasn't a bad first half performance, but we kind of, unfortunately, we lost the goal. And for me, after we'd hit the post, we sort of lacked belief, creativity, urgency even, to try and kind of get back in things. And it was a fairly kind of damp squib of a second half performance, and as you say, the kind of two goals at the end gave the scoreline a kind of flattering outlook. Over the piece, difficult to contest that Hibs didn't deserve it, but certainly the scoreline flattered and certainly left us disappointed. The irony won't be lost after 2-3-0 victories by default, that we lose 3-0 in the park to immediately balance one of those up, but not the best.
No, it certainly wasn't the best, Pepe. And I think when we look back, and Stephen Robinson quite often says it as well, it's how you react to adversity. We've had the disappointment of having that goal disallowed. As I say, I believe that Bevis McGabby's goal should have stood, and that could have given the game a whole different complexion. You could have actually gone into the break 1-0 ahead and full of confidence. Instead, it maybe acts as a bit of a body blow. They get their noses in front. And then, as Andy rightfully points out, I don't think we, with the exception of the one that came off the post, really threatened Marciano's goal with any regularity and deserved to go down. And we went down quite meekly as well. So do you think that the team kind of lacked a wee bit of character there in terms of not being able to shrug off the disappointment of that goal being disallowed?
I don't know if it's character.
I thought the first half we played really well, really enjoyed the game. And as you said, I think we're missing Tony Watt, had a really good chance as well. It was one of the ones that kind of just hit off him and it made the post. But I just felt as if in the second half, all we really did was hit the post. And we just looked as if Motherwell seemed to be, it used to be the opposite. We would play rubbish in the first half and then come out all guns blazing in the second half. I think the subs, Seedorf comes on in the 70th minute, and I just thought he was terrible. I think the shape, I'm not too keen on the shape. I still think it's working rather than the lacking character. I don't like the fact that Chris Long and Lang are playing left and right, almost wingers. I think they are more strikers. I don't like this at the moment, the front three changing. I don't like the left back situation seems to be an ongoing issue, and as I say every single week, that Mugabe is always good to fling a goal away. I think he got turned off easy for the first goal, although he wasn't the worst player on the park on Saturday. So I think all of these things combined is more of an issue for me than what character. I think it's an easy thing to say that the players lack character. I think every player would want to win, but sometimes when you've not got the quality there, that's the main issue. I looked at some of the issues that we've had, and what I've said, obviously, Lang and Long, I think they're kind of playing out of position. I thought McGinley was signed as a centre-half, but I've done a wee bit of looking into him, building up to it this week, and it appears he has played majority of last season when he was playing. He was in and out of the team at Forest Green, and he has played at left-back, but he just doesn't fill me with confidence. And saying that, when I seen the team, when I read it on Saturday at kind of quarter to two, I was delighted with the team. I was quite happy that Chapman had been dropped. The only difference that I would have made would have been potentially switching O'Donnell over to the left and bringing back in Grimshaw. Let's see how that works. But I was really, really disappointed with the second half performance. I know you are saying, oh, we did play well in the first half, but I thought the second half was one of the worst performances that I've seen for a long time. We did look like we couldn't be bored getting back into it. Seedorf getting on the ball, not getting the ball past the first man. Felt Polworth had a really poor game. When it comes down to that, I think Polworth, he's a luxury player. I don't think that he is any dig in him. I think that he's always looking for the kind of the World Cup pass. So I think there's a lot to learn from it. And the frustrating thing is, it's difficult to then... I've seen a few people saying, oh, give these young boys a chance. But we never get to see the young boys. I really miss the kind of watching the 20s highlights. And you would get to see, like, say, when it was Turnbull, Campbell, even Jake Hasty, pop them up with some goals and seeing how they played. But I can't judge how these young boys are developing or anything. So I think there's a few issues. And when you look at the signings that Robinson's made in close season, I hate to say it, because I just don't really see where it's going to change.
We'll talk more about the summer signings and the impact they've made or may not have made so far. Andy, we talked about maybe turning a corner at home. Looking at it though, one, less than a handful of games at home in the whole calendar year. I know that the last season was curtailed early, but even then you've just got that solitary victory against Ross County to go on there. This season only beaten St Johnstone by a single goal and then a convincing victory against County. So we are struggling for home form. And then that meets these trips to places like Livingston, albeit we got the 3 points there. McDermott Park, where we got a point. Hibs, where we got a point. We can't begin to start relying and taking points from these places. because they used to be the games that we considered almost a kind of bonus, that you could go in and get the result maybe once every second visit, once every third visit, you'll go there and you'll get a win. But now we're actually relying on being a solid away side because we're not picking up enough points at home. There's been accusations levelled at Motherwell that they've now made the pitch so perfect that it's actually appealing for opposition teams to come. They can get the ball down, they can play football. Fir Park isn't a fortress of any sort just now. It's actually a quite attractive proposition for visiting teams, and it shows in the results. This is something that we need to address and address quickly. We've got two more games before the end of the year at Fir Park. Sorry, we've got three more games. We've got Aberdeen, Kilmarnock, and then obviously the St Mirren game coming up on Saturday. Something really needs to be done about this. If it wasn't for these six bonus points, if you will, that we've picked up from the breaches of COVID protocols by Kelly and St Mirren, we could be in quite a precarious situation at the moment.
Yeah, there's in terms of the home form, it's possibly no coincidence that things began to nosedive, if you want to use that expression, is whenever teams started getting the measure of the formation and the tactics that we were employing towards the kind of end of last year, beginning of this year. And we've certainly regressed in terms of our potency. And we unfortunately, with the kind of defensive errors that we've been making this season, it really just seems like it's a case of let us kind of burn ourselves out. If we don't score, then sooner or later we look as if we're going to make at least one mistake that presents an opportunity for the visiting team to capitalise and take advantage on. And again, you're in the difficult situation then that it's increasingly rare that we seem to come back from being behind in a game these days. It was a kind of trait in Robinson's kind of earlier days, and it's one of these kind of double-edged swords whereby he gained a bit of a reputation earlier on. If things weren't going right, you know, he wouldn't be scared to make wholesale changes in an attempt to remedy that. Flip side to that, of course, is that you raise the point why you continually have to remedy mistakes. However, there was that kind of spell whereby there were changes to personnel or tactics made that seemed to have a positive impact, whereas that doesn't appear to be happening just now. You certainly looked at the bench at the weekend, and it did fill you with any great optimism that we were going to find a goal with the kind of changes that were made. How we address that's we seem to revisit the kind of point every wee while. We are, again, it's one of these things. You could argue it's great that Robinson, if he learns from mistakes, if you want to say, that is adaptable in terms of moving on from formations and tactics that have been sussed or don't work as effectively as they did previously. But there are question marks that we linger too long in a formation and a set of tactics that perhaps leave us going for several kind of games in a bit of a rut where things aren't going, and it requires like further changes at a transfer window or the kind of the freshness that comes with the introduction of some youngsters to sort of try and revitalise things a wee bit. And it looks as if we're kind of heading to that point again. As kind of Pepe said, there's a few of the kind of the new signings haven't bedded in as well as we might have hoped. There are some players in the squad that aren't featuring particularly a great deal, and if they are, they're having limited. So it really has that kind of feel of we're kind of building up to like one of those kind of January transfer windows where we need to sort of remedy some mistakes to try and give us the kind of wherewithal to be able to try and change the kind of dynamic of the team, whether that's the formation, the tactics, the style of play, whatever the case may be. But as you say, we've had the positive of the 6 points there, and it's kind of given the table a bit of an artificial look. And it offers an opportunity if we are able to turn things around. Still not by any manner of means a kind of disastrous season.
we still look as if we've got enough about us to be able to stay comfortably clear of the kind of relegation battle, but the kind of aspirations that we all had of putting in a sustained challenge for a European place are kind of very much hanging in the balance, and you know, it looks like some work's going to be required in January to try and remedy that if that's going to be our aim for the second half of the season.
Pepe, we'll move on to the St Johnstone game in the Cup. We were going on the back of a 1-1 draw. I had thought 1-1 draw at McDermott. We get our noses in front. Tony Watt scores midway through the second half. But from there, it was almost a capitulation. And Saints go on to win the game 2-1. Our Cup hopes are ended at the first hurdle. Yes, we were dealt the blow of being without the likes of Alan Campbell and Barry Maguire. But that was a really, really disappointing afternoon. And that has been the theme for the last couple of weeks. It's sometimes the case that we can dress up the negatives and talk that there's clearly positive signs there. But I think what has been overriding feeling after that St Johnstone game and after Hibs on Saturday was that we've got a long way to go to improve this, and we might have to brace ourselves for some disappointments over this festive run of fixtures, because we're just not at the standard we need to be. And to lose that game from 1-0 up and looking in a commanding position at 1-0 up is pretty unacceptable and really disappointing, given the fact that these cup competitions offer our only real chance at silverware. In fact, our only chance at silverware, let's be brutally honest about that. It's not even brutally honest, it's just been realistic. To lose in those circumstances and to go out without much of a whimper, the last 15-20 minutes, you're desperate to go all out and find a way back into the game. We didn't look in any sort of rush. We didn't create anything. It was just such a poor way to go out the Cup. And you look at it now with Celtic going out as well. The competition might have opened up a wee bit for us, and we've got that opportunity to be one game away from Hampden. Instead, when it comes to these games at the end of the month that will decide the four semi-finalists, we'll be watching on in Premier Sport.
No, I think that's the thing. The last time that we spoke, I'd said the League Cup was a wee... I didn't get the same kind of buzz for it. However, what really frustrated me was when you see Celtic get knocked out, you see the draw, St Johnstone get Dunfermline away, which you've got to expect that they'll win, and you've got to expect we'd have on and won the game. Really, really frustrating. The performance at 1-0, if we'd won that game at 1-0, I'd have said it's one and we'd get away with it. I think throughout the whole season, with exception of maybe a couple of performances, we've created not really that much. The games that we have won, Aberdeen, great performance. Ross County was all right. Maybe flattered us a wee bit. But there's not been many games this season that I've enjoyed sitting watching. I used a comparison of the excitement sitting in my living room watching Scotland. So I can't even say the fact that you can't get up for it because you're not at the game, you're sitting watching it on the TV. But I've just been so... I just think it's been such a dire watch the majority of the games. We don't have... Yes, Paul was creative, but as I've said, he falls away for the game. The St Johnstone game, as you've said, I agree with everything that you've said. You said earlier on about the lack of character. It did look as if there was a lack of fight in that, and it just looked as if there was a wee bit of, fuck, well, it's only the League Cup. And it was just so lacklustre performance. The media team have been heaped with praise for the kind of insightful videos and whatnot that they do, but it just seems to be like repetition after repetition. And that's not the media team's fault. It's the continuous, we'll come back fighting next week. They made a big song and dance about, this is our cup run. And I know they've got to do that, because at the end of the day, that's their job. But it's all right doing that Monday to Friday, and then it comes to the Saturday, and we're getting utter dross watching it. You know what I mean? You end up switching turning the stream off. It's that poor. I just hope that, as I've said earlier on, I can't see where, at the moment, where we change and what we're going to do. I would like, as I said, to see Tony Watt playing as part of a two up front and seeing how that goes and how that would be long. I think Chris Long's come under a fair bit of criticism, but I think he's been shoved out into the right or the left wing, wherever Robinson sees fit to play him. Whereas I think his most successful time last season when he was playing through the middle, if you look at the cup game at Dens Park when he scored the hat-trick, he was playing through the middle that night. So why not play him with Tony Watt and try something different? But as you say, the St Johnstone, I don't know what you guys thought, but I was, by the end of it, you're disgusted. It ruins your Saturday. It's just so poor, the football that we're watching. It's not even that there's games where you can't even remember a one-on-one chance that we're creating. It's, I don't know, I'm just getting... I'm glad, this is me actually being more positive, because if we'd done the podcast on Sunday, I would have been, I was disgusted with the second half performance. That being said, I know that there's already on Steelman Online the Robinson out. I'm certainly still not in that camp. I still think he's a really good manager, good man manager. Just hope that, as I've already alluded to, I'm not very impressed with the summer signings and how they've bedded in as yet. I don't see any of them. I mean, at the end of the day, we're a sailing club. I don't see any of the players that are on the fringes or on that have come into the club that would leave another side looking to sign them. But as you say, the most frustrating thing is when you get put at the cup on Saturday, then our kind of a Celtic get put out, and you see that draw, that just put the icing in the cake for us and made me feel even more sick.
I think the defeat in a cup is... League games, you've got time to remedy more often than not, but I think there's nothing more frustrating than losing a winnable cup tie and going out in such a kind of weak fashion. And I was kind of glad that we never did the podcast last week as well. It would have been extremely negative. I think we're definitely suffering from not being there, both in terms of our own kind of personal watching. You just can't affect it at all. Sitting in your living room, whereas when you're there, you're at least sort of, you feel as if you're collectively, as well as individually, you feel that you can do something to impact how things are going. And I'm fairly certain in a cup tie, if we've gone in there, or even if they need a bit of backing to try and help them get back into it, if you're just going behind or whatever, then there'd be a response for the stands. And there's just, clearly there's nothing there. And that additional spur that the support can bring the teams. I think we're missing that. And as I say, from a kind of personal level, I can understand what you're getting to about just wanting to turn the stream off or turn it down or whatever. It just if you don't see there, you can't impact it. It's not going your way. It can very quickly leave you apathetic.
But see, the thing with the stream and the fans not being there, I get that, right? But it's the same for the two teams. And I know you're saying at home we would have turned it around and that. But I think it's quite an easy excuse for players to use, we're missing the fans and stuff. The players...
I wouldn't say it's an excuse, it's a factor. I wouldn't say it's an excuse for them, but it's definitely a factor.
But it's a factor for the two teams, isn't it?
Yep, aye, absolutely. But if you've got four or five times as many supporters, and you've got a team like our fans generally are generally supportive, or generally give them backing, then I think it has to make an impact. Particularly at the time, it's easy whenever your things are going well, but that extra wee bit of backing whenever things have turned against them, I'm not going to say that they're going to turn
Rooney and solve all their problems, but I definitely think we've had a better opportunity turning around those problems if you 2,000 or 3,000 Motherwell fans cheering them on or getting behind them.
Yeah, I think that's 100% right. You've got to consider even things like you're a goal down and you win a corner, even if it's out the blue and you've been right up against it. That the fans can react to that. They drive the team on. They maybe give them that extra yard for players that are maybe suffering from fatigue or maybe just a bit low in confidence. They go across, they get a wee bit of applause, they get teed up. And that's all lacking there. For all you can encourage them from the couch, it's just not the same. And I think in recent years, probably the last season and a half, to be fair, we have struggled at home, and I can't pinpoint the exact reason as to why that's the case, but we are struggling, and the home forum is the most important thing for us. There's no getting away from that. We're not expected to go away and win week in, week out. But at home, particularly against the teams expected to be in the bottom six, I expect us to be going out there and getting the 3 points. And whether that be down to players not being able to react and to a bit of adversity to going a goal down, we've said that throughout the season, that you can actually see in the body language of the players, confidence just sapping out of them when the ball hits our net. It's almost as if they just don't know how to then turn it on and react to that disappointment. In fact, is there an occasion this season where we've went on to win a game when we've been behind?
But see this, I don't know the answer to that question. Andy's your stats man, you'll probably know better than me, but see my argument to that is, right, is that we're saying that the crowd being there, not being there, is a factor, right? I understand that, right? But having sat at Fir Park and some of the results recently, going 3-0 down against Hibs, I'm pretty sure that the fans would be going absolutely mental. Same against St Johnstone. So it could have a negative effect as well.
The thing is, the game wasn't done till the 88th minute, though. At 88 minutes, it's still 1-0 for Hibs. Yeah, it might have ended 3-0, but that's where the kind of the flawed or the false result comes into play. You're chasing the game, and I know we weren't going hell for leather, but we did get picked off in the break for the second goal. And then by the third goal, the heads are down. You can absolutely guarantee that 88 minutes in a home game, Fir Park's a quarter full. By the point that when the second goal goes in, everybody gets up and leaves. It's almost kind of that the common denominator when a deciding goal goes in at Fir Park. You do see the masses leaving in great numbers, and the place looks very, very sparse. I think that it's kind of, I didn't feel the same way as I would normally feel after a 3-0 defeat. Put it that way, on Saturday, I didn't think we were a million miles away. I just think that there's something lacking. The enthusiasm lacking for me just now as well. Did I miss it? Yes, I do. Did I miss it as badly as I thought I did? Definitely not. I'm easily coping without attending the football every week, and I think that's more a worrying sign for me. I don't know whether it's because this team I don't want to say go through the motions, and I know you've mentioned a couple of times, I asked about the character. I'm not saying that this team don't have no character. I'm just kind of trying to put my finger on the reason why they can't seem to react to the things going wrong. And I'm looking through the stats. We haven't come back from a goal down at any point this season and won a game. So it's not really that positive a sign. And I would actually wonder how many times we've went a goal up and actually, a goal down and come back and draw in the game. I know we lost the first goal to Livingston early on in the season, but then we went 2-1 up and drew the game 2-2. After that, I'm struggling to think of a game that we've went behind and then fought back. So it's not a great sign, and it does level at something happens to these players when they go a goal behind that they can't find it in them to battle back. Are we maybe just kind of having one of these seasons where we're not really threatened by relegation, we're not going to push for Europe? Is that just something that makes us nonplussed. I don't know. But it, there's a feeling of...
I think it absolutely does. I think it does. It definitely does for me. I think if you go through... well, certainly in my lifetime anyway, there's the vast majority of the seasons we've had a purpose about us that's kind of lingered on quite late on into the season. Whether that's been a Scottish Cup run that's taken you into quarterfinals or beyond, whether it's been a relegation battle, whether we've been fighting for a European place, or even the more kind of, if you want to call it artificial, kind of trying to find your way into the top six since the kind of turn of the kind of century. But it's those nothing seasons where you're very quickly it's identified that you're never going to be in relegation trouble, you're never going to trouble the kind of the top end of the table, where you have those inconsistencies where you get a couple of results, then you have a couple of bad results, and then it carries on and vice versa. So nothing really happens. It's just a kind of nothing season. And those do tend to be the ones where the interest slips away, you know, the more quickly. There have been a few of them, and they're pretty kind of torturous. Not as bad as a relegation battle ending up in the kind of wrong way, of course, but in terms of excitement value, in terms of wanting to entice you to go along because, you know, something's important at stake, there's just... You get the feeling that we're just going to plod on, we're going to plummet between maybe, you know, down as far as like ninth, and then we'll have a run where we're maybe up like fifth or sixth or something, and then settle somewhere in between. Ultimately, the end of it as it looks at the moment.
The NFC podcast is proudly brought to you by Manscaped, the number one in men's below the waist grooming, offering precision engineered tools for your family jewels. You can get 20% off and free shipping with the code MONDEWELL at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com using the code MONDEWELL.
Let's talk about the two victories that we got, the victories over Kilmarnock and St Mirren. Pepe, there's a lot to this, and both teams are now appealing against the decision. I think my reaction at the time was one of delight, to be honest, because, as I say, this came in a week that we had been knocked out of the cup after a poor performance against St Johnstone. Suddenly we were actually lifted up to fifth place, and a victory against Hibs would have taken us 2 points off of them in a European place. So it certainly opened up a few doors or a window of opportunity that was quickly slammed shut in our faces, and that game at Fir Park on Saturday.
I think you're the 6 point you said earlier on shown to be a really crucial 3 6 points, isn't it? The form that we're in, and I can only I hate being so negative, but I just can't see us going on a winning run, and these 6 points might prove to be crucial. If you take them away, we're currently going down. Do I think it was the right decision to happen? Obviously, I don't know for a fact if what the rumour mill was that the players were sharing cars, travelling back and forward to training. At the end of the day, these guys are meant to... They must have knew that there was a risk in that. And if that's proven to be fact, then I don't really see that they've got a leg to stand on. As we've spoke about in this before, there probably should have been some sort of rule put in place, but hindsight's a wonderful thing. Personally, I'd have preferred the games to have been played. I don't really like getting the points the way that we have, but I'll take it, particularly because it's maybe going to keep us away for that relegation, getting into the kind of Christmas period. But do I think it was the right decision? I honestly don't know. I like to look at it, if it was Motherwell that were involved in this situation, would I be happy? Probably not. I've got St Mirren, a guy, my mate at work, as a St Mirren fan, and he said, look, I totally support the decision if that's the case about the players travelling together. The only thing it does do is we're playing St Mirren on Saturday. I think it brings a wee edge to it with Morris Rossi's comments and Tony Fitzpatrick getting involved. Then they've appealed the 3 points, so it makes a wee bit of niggle in the game on Saturday. They'll certainly want to come to Firth Park and avenge the 3 points that they've virtually flung away. So it might make the game a wee bit more interesting. And it certainly will show us where we're at, because let's not forget St Mirren are sitting at the bottom of the table at the moment, I think. So it will show us exactly where we're at. Hibs are a good side with the likes of Martin Boyle and stuff like that. So it just adds that wee bit of fire that will maybe make it a wee bit more interesting, a wee bit more tasty than some of the games that we've witnessed over the last couple of weeks.
Andy, I think it goes without saying that these 6 points could be very gratefully received, or were gratefully received, but I think it will be quite a significant moment in our season if our current form continues. You look at the decision itself and the reaction, and I can't be the only one that's been absolutely delighted following the likes of Pye and Bovril on Twitter and seeing their toys out the pram reaction, which continues to this day. There is something absolutely joyous about getting one up another team.
I was pretty surprised, to say the least, as well, whenever the kind of outcome was announced. And it was one of those ones that Sky Sports News was like, scrolling along, you know, the telly and kind of sitting, and I had to like, kind of stop and rewind it. It's like, did I see that right? I couldn't see it happening for fear that it was something that they had to replicate involving either the old firm. I just couldn't see a scenario where they would allow that possibility to happen. So it was pretty astounding to see what they actually came up with. And I haven't really went into too much detail in terms of like Pye and Bovril. I'd seen the odd tweet here and there, but I was kind of quite surprised at the kind of level of the explanation that we got from the league. And it certainly seemed to be fairly kind of cut and dried based on their kind of detail, which, you know, makes me wonder. Obviously, the two of them have appealed. Is this just to be seen to be doing something? You know, do they genuinely feel that they've got grounds for it? I don't know. I mean, we discussed the possibility of it, you know, going back numerous weeks now. Look, Pepe, I think my kind of expectation and my preference would have been that you get the points by winning the games on the park. But really, if those are the kind of, you know, the circumstances are correct, as has been given in the reasoning, and you know, their explanation for it is valid by the league, then it's fair enough. I mean, important to keep in mind that it isn't just Motherwell. We've benefited, obviously, by the fact that we've got 6 points, but Accies have benefited as well. So isn't just ourselves that's kind of taking something from it. But in terms of the game on Saturday, there's a couple of wee bits of an edge there. We've got the returning Richard Tate as well. We've got an exchange back and forth in the media when he left the club. I think there's a bit of kind of lingering disappointment at the way we chucked away games, not only in the Scottish Cup last season against them, but the league game that came a week or so after that as well, from a kind of winning position in both of those games. So there's things to be addressed on Saturday. There's no question about that.
She just came back to the St Mirren and Killy losing the points. If I was a St Mirren or a Killy fan, I wouldn't be really too angry. We're the innocent parties here, right? What I would be angry about would be that there appears to be a clear difference between what happened with Aberdeen and what happened with Celtic. Now, I think that's the most important point. Why were they treated differently from two so-called smaller clubs against that, I think that's the main issue. I don't think that I seen some of the stuff with Pye and Bovril, and it made me laugh that it was almost aimed at Motherwell. But I don't really know what we could have done differently. But now is I think Andy just said the other night that there may have, going forward, if any of the Old Firm are involved in it, and it then goes to influence the league. But this could influence relegation, which is just as big to a St Mirren fan or a Hamilton fan as what it is to anybody else, in my opinion. So I think there's got to be some sort of, I think that's going to be where they're really angry, and I think they've got a right to be as well.
I think we've managed to kind of knock off the St Mirren preview. We've also got games in the immediate term. We'll possibly come back. I see that the Aberdeen game's been moved to a 6:15 kickoff, so it suits you guys. It could be a good time to record after that one in just under 2 weeks' time. Also got a trip to Ibrox to, in inverted commas, look forward to in between the St Mirren game and then a home game against Aberdeen. Andy, there isn't a great deal to look forward to there. Sir, you look at the form that Rangers are on and the way they absolutely steamroller does it at Fir Park. That's a bit of a daunting prospect. And it possibly emphasises the importance of getting 3 points on Saturday against St Mirren. I did a wee bit of homework on Stephen Robinson's record, and I've always seen him as a manager that just gets the job done against the teams that were expected to beat. And that certainly rings true with St Mirren. We do badly miss Dundee because we beat them constantly when we came up against them under Stephen Robinson. But this is a huge game, and if you get the 3 points, fixtures against Rangers and to a lesser extent Aberdeen aren't as important in terms of having to pick up points. And years gone by, we've left ourselves in a bit of a situation by losing games to the likes of St Mirren, and then you have to go into a home fixture against Aberdeen, almost kind of regarding it as a must-win, which is a difficult spot to put yourself in.
Yep, next couple of fixtures beyond St Mirren, certainly not the most enticing, and even looking beyond that as well, you've got the trip to Dan. So it's going to be a difficult period to try and pick up points. As you say, it makes the game on Saturday all that more important. You kind of fear the worst for getting into Ibrox, in all honesty. They seem to have a depth of options there that they could rest half a dozen of their squad, and it would still be quite a threatening prospect. But you never know. You know, they're going to drop a point or two somewhere along the line. If we somehow get into one of those kind of zones whereby things go your way, then there's always a possibility. I mean, not long after Robinson took over, we managed to get a point to Ibrox, but it's kind of few and far between those results these days, so we'll see what goes there. Aberdeen at home is a kind of a strange one. We seem to have got into this kind of routine where we go there and scalp them, they come to us and scalp us. So it'd be kind of nice to address that. There's still that kind of lingering look back at last season as to what might have happened had the season carried on that bit further or even reached its conclusion, and Aberdeen was the game that we were kind of looking forward to in the Friday evening before a halt was called. So we'll see how that one goes, and then the other side of Christmas were away to Tannadice. There'd have been the potential for a good wee away day, that one, not to be as it currently stands. But in terms of the importance to the kind of campaign, then for various reasons, we're really looking to see off St Mirren on Saturday, both to emphasise your superiority in terms of any chances of being dragged into a relegation battle, and to keep that fight going for the kind of European places as long as we possibly can.
Scott, just a final one from yourself. You mentioned earlier in the podcast, and I said we would come back to it, the end of the year tends to be a point of reflection where you look back and what's went on in the previous 12 months. The summer transfers is something that you've been quite opinionated about over the course. Now, there's players that undoubtedly haven't lived up to their billing. I think there's a few that we've brought back, really expecting big things, and they've not quite clicked for whatever reason. A few signings have done well, and then there's maybe three or four that we're still kind of on the fence about. What would you take from Stephen Robinson's transfer dealings over the summer, and what changes would you like to see as we approach the January transfer window? Incredibly, it feels like it was only a couple of days ago that the summer one came to a close, but we're almost back at the time where we can delve into the transfer market and strengthen the side and perhaps address some of the weaknesses in the summer signings.
Certainly, I think there's been more failures than there has been good signings. You've got Chapman, Archer, McGinley, Lamy, O'Donnell, White, Cole, Crawford, Fox, Hasty, O'Hara, Watt, Long and Lang. There's a fair amount of players here. That's the concerning thing. For me, the majority of them are proven to be poor. Chapman, poor. McGinley, I don't even know what position McGinley is meant to play. As I said, I've done a wee bit of research, and he certainly appears to be left back. Lamy's been the biggest disappointment for me. I remember being at one of the horrible games at Almondvale last season. I think they won 1-0 or 2-0. And he stood out for me. I thought he looks a big kind of solid, hard defender. And when we signed him, I was delighted. But to be fair to him, he's not really had a real good run at centre-half. He's always been left back. And he's clearly, isn't he, a left back. Jordan White, again, I'm probably being unfair on him, but he's coming on bit part. I'm not even going to go into Jake Casty. The ones that have been decent, O'Hara, Lang, I think looks all right, but he always looks as if he's a sneeze away for a red card in every game. So the majority of them are poor. O'Donnell goes without saying that he's been really, really good. Crawford, I don't want to sound like the big, but this isn't the type of player that should be coming to a team that finished third in the league last season. Where do I want to see it changing? Well, we definitely need to. I mean, I don't know about you guys. Who's your first pick to play alongside Declan Gallagher, taking Charlie Dunn out the equation? I really don't think that we've got a centre half. We'll need to sign a centre half. We've got that many forwards that we'll need to get rid of them. If you look back to the likes of Alex Fisher, when things weren't working out for him, he was let go. There's a couple of the players there that, with the exception of Tony Watt up front, he's the kind of first pick, probably Devante Cole. The rest of them just don't really seem to be cutting it. Without Alan Campbell in the middle of that park as well, I could go on and on and on. And again, I'm conscious of how negative I'm being and depressing that I may sound, but I think I'm being pretty much realistic.
Yeah, I think it's been a difficult transfer window. I think it's been difficult for a number of reasons as well. From a recruitment point of view, it must be difficult when you lose players. You go back to the start of the year and losing James Scott. You lose him in deadline day. You've got no real time to turn it around. That being said, we were able to bring in Tony Watt a couple of weeks later in a free transfer, and he's worked out well. You then lose David Turnbull in the summer, but you don't see the money to replace that. So essentially, you lose a nearly £3.5 million player, and you're given a wage of £2,000 a week to replace someone. It's an impossible job, and I think that's the markets that we're shopping in, and that's the difficulties that face the management team in terms of how do you fill these voids with a fraction of the money. And that's been the case for every Motherwell manager over time. I'm sure that you'll lose your assets for reasonable sums and you're given a pittance to replace them with. And Stephen Robinson has got a knack of getting it right, but I think particularly with the situation with a lack of fans in, and that will directly result in no hospitality money and various sponsorship problems as well. The revenue coming into the club is diminishing, and as a result, I think what we've got to spend is also diminishing, of course. So it leaves the manager with a difficult situation and a real headache to try and replace with quality. And to be honest, more often than not, we've not managed to do it this year. In terms of the centre half, I'm not as against Bevis Mugabe as you are. I think that he has a mistake in him, certainly, but I think that he has come on a great deal in the last 3 or 4 months. And for me, he would be ahead of Ricky Lamy in the pecking order. Do we need another centre half? Yes, we probably do. And it's unfortunate that it doesn't seem to be the case that the production line out of young players is running as quickly as it has in recent years either. And I think that the fact that there's no reserve football and these guys are having to go out and loan is maybe going to be a benefit further down the line, but in the immediate term, we've not got these guys there and on hand to just drop into the team when there's an injury crisis or when there's a drop in form of the guys that are already there. So there's a number of factors that have kind of worked against the manager in terms of his summer recruitment. I don't think that should be used as a stick to beat him with, in all honesty, because I feel that he's really having to deal with limited resources, and he's been dealt a pretty bad hand in terms of being able to of who he can get, because all the factors that I've mentioned beforehand here have all come into play at the one time, and suddenly
if I could just come in there, what I would say though is a lot of the signings that we made in the summer were made quite early in the summer. That we had our kind of squad formulated quite quickly. And I've got a lot of sympathy for managers like Stephen Robinson and guys like him of a similar ilk in the kind of in our division, and that there's a lot of competition for the same kind of players from the same market. I mean, remember the likes of whenever we got Polworth, it was like St Johnson were in the half because they thought they had them in the bag. I think it was other teams sniffing about Gallagher as well. I mean, we managed to get him, and every time we kind of sign someone from kind of down south, we hear that there was X amount of teams that were offering such and such more money. And I think there are occasions where we need to kind of maybe go down second, third, fourth, even fifth choice in that preferred list of options. But I think what I find that kind of most disappointing the current kind of crop is that These were all kind of signed and sealed pretty early, or a number of them were signed and sealed pretty early, which kind of gives you the impression that they were identified as kind of first choice picks, or certainly close to the top of the list.
Is that really the case though? Because with Ricky Lamy came in really quickly, Jordan White came in really quickly, and granted, I'm getting off to a bad start there, two guys that haven't made any sort of impact so far.
Ahara as well. He was another one that kind of came in. Certainly, we were reacting to things further on in the season with the signing of O'Donnell. When things were kind of looking weak in the fullback kind of position. But there were players that were identified that haven't hit the heights that we were hoping they might have done.
McGinley was in quick, but I think you look at since the start of the season, you would have Watt, Archer, Chapman, Robbie Crawford, Stephen O'Donnell, Devante Cole. So it's almost been a kind of continual process. But again, you can't really bargain for the likes of Scott Fox, whatever the thoughts were on him on his arrival. Being ruled out for the season really quickly. And then you lose players that were already there, like Trevor Carson, like Liam Donnelly. Charles Dunn hasn't been fit for the best part of the last 18 months. But again, maybe you're hoping that this is a year that it kind of comes back for him. And Jake Carroll as well, it's been a prolonged injury. But again, wouldn't have anticipated that would have lasted quite as long as it has. So I just kind of help it feel that for all that, it's very easy to turn around and say, right, it's stagnated, and the reason for that is the management. I just feel that it's really been the perfect shitstorm for him as well at times this season, where it's been very difficult to get any sort of continuity in terms of selection. Even Glenn,
that's certainly true, but that's a wee bit different for the kind of discussion about in terms of whether the transfers have been successful or not. this season. I think, as you rightly say, you know, the return of Carroll is going to improve things. The return of Donnelly is going to give the midfield a kind of more of a kind of an anchor in there as well, which is perhaps going to free up the likes of Polworth and Campbell to do more of what they do best further up the park. These kind of players are coming back. If you do have, you know, more strength and depth with Charles Dunn, they're all going to add to the options and strength and what we have available to us. But you know, that still doesn't take away that there's been signings that were kind of come in pretty early that haven't quite cut it yet. And I'm fully conscious as well that there are players that need a period of time to adjust to a new club, and also in some cases adjust to a new area, different circumstances, might be separated from partners and children and what have you, and you know that affects different people in different ways and stuff. So there's certainly a you know, they might not have turned it on immediately. They may still come good and stuff, and it's important to acknowledge that.
Yeah, I maybe did deviate away from the kind of fact the matter there, but I just kind of feel that I was quite surprised. I don't consider Tielman Online a great deal, but in terms of, I couldn't believe the kind of prominence of the Robinson out thread, and I just kind of feel that the manager has earned our patience by his track record that far back. There will be times, and he's already experienced times, where results and performances have been poor, but he's always shown a knack of being able to turn it around. And I certainly more than deserves that opportunity to do it again here.
I totally agree with you, but I think the frustrating thing for me is, Freddie said, there's been very few games this year that I've enjoyed. And I think that's part of it. And part of it's down to playing players at a position. I mean, I don't know what position Callum Lang is. Long was signed as a number 9 striker, and he's literally not played there. So my frustration with the manager is, again, he's trying to fit players into a formation. We've not got the personnel to do it. And saying that, I would rather see Mark O'Hara slide back into a centre-half with Declan Gallagher. So I'm a wee bit contradictory there. But I think, I don't want the manager to go down it. He's done great. I'm not going to be saying he should get sacked or anything like that at all. But the football has been nothing short of brutal. As I said, I can't remember the last time that I thoroughly enjoyed a game, the full 90 minutes. Probably Pittodrie was the last time. So there's got to be something not right if that's the case.
Plenty of food for thought here, guys, and thank you very much for your time. I guess what we've got to wait and see is how these next 3 games go, and then if you guys are available, we'll come back a couple of days before Christmas, look back in the games against Sittman, Rangers and Aberdeen, and look ahead to what comes after that. Another quick couple of games following the Boxing Day clash at Tannadice, a home game against Kilmarnock, a trip to Aki's for the new year fixture, so, and then no winter break as well, of course. So yeah, plenty to look forward to. Hopefully look forward to. I think that Saturday's game against St Mirren is going to be a big factor in that. Guys, thanks again for your time.
No problem at all.
You've been listening to the MFC podcast. We'll be back in a couple of weeks' time following the Aberdeen game. Until then, thank you and goodbye.
At night it's only you are in control. All of us know it's easy to forget that, to console. You gotta think like an old soul. Supernatural, it's inconceivable how civilizations they come and go, leaving only examples what not to follow. Think of the places you could have lived, where happiness wasn't borrowed. Metaphysical, yet you make it seem possible. A kaleidoscope of old souls, all waiting for someone, for some new chain to follow.